Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Romans 11:32 says this, "For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." This is the plan of God. This is the wisdom of God. It's been being carried out in Christ Jesus since his death, burial, and resurrection. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we respond to this message, we receive the mercy that God intends for all of us. That is the good news of the gospel. That's our subject this month, is the mercy of God, how it impacts us on a day-to-day basis. I just think this is one of the most marvelous truths that we can read about in the Word of God and actually experience in real life. And Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. Andrew, great to have you with us again today.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Well, Andrew, when you think of mercy, what comes to your mind? How does it impact your day-to-day life, your day-to-day walk with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, well, it was just this Sunday that I actually preached on a passage where Paul says that God is rich in mercy. And I just talked about the fact that we were still dead in our sins, and it was all God's idea and God's initiative. He chased after us through the work of the cross and the resurrection. And, you know, we sometimes forget that this is all his agenda in saving us. It's his agenda in forgiving us. It's his agenda in showing us mercy. And it's all about glorifying his name. So I think it's time we get to bragging. I mean, we need to be bragging about the greatness of the finished work of Christ. We need to be bragging about how forgiven we are because of Jesus. We need to be bragging about how merciful our God is, because he is. He's rich in mercy, as Paul writes. And, you know, that means that you could probe the depths of his character for eternity and never get to the bottom of that mercy. And so, it's just interesting that we kind of make the Christian life about ourselves and how we're doing and our track record and our recent mess ups. And, you know, we kind of survey our performance. And we forget that the whole thing is really about God's character and about him doing it to glorify his name. And so we ought to be bragging on the cross and bragging about eternal life that we have and bragging about the blood of Jesus taking away all of our sins. But we got a lot of Christians that are kind of squirming and, you know, tempering their celebration and balancing the grace of God with other things. And, you know, we need to see this is really all about his name and how great he is.
Well, Andrew, we have so many religious referees out there throwing the flag when we celebrate too much. Stop that. Stop that. We can't celebrate these victories that we have in Christ. And, you know, we just have to come to realize that, you know, as you said, God is rich in mercy, and he is generous in doling that out to us in Christ Jesus. We are beyond blessed because of the mercy of God. Let's talk about that on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number. Wide open lines right now. Go ahead and call if you have a question about mercy, how it applies in your life, any other situation that you might be dealing with. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, let's check some email questions. Richard, what do you have for us?
Well, a guy named Jose, who is writing to us through the Basic Gospel app from Tampa, Florida, has this question, and I think his question fits in today. Is there a special way to pray, or do you feel the Spirit? Every day I try to read books, the Word, and I feel burned out, like I'm not just enough. I take a lot of passages out of context, and the Bible I have is confusing. It says we should fear God, and I do feel stuck in condemnation. Please help.
Boy, that's a powerful message there, and
yes.
I think something that really reveals our hearts that haven't come to grips with the truth of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's something that we hear all over the world, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, this idea of fearing God, yeah, I get it. The Bible says that, but what does it mean? I think we have to go beyond a surface level reading of what it says and really ask the Lord what it means, because, you know, people weren't scared to death of the Lord. I mean, they're not scared to death of God in the early church. What we're really seeing is that there's a, you know, a healthy need to be respectful of who God is and to be in reverence and awe of who he is. But I mean, he's already told us, he says, I'm not the author of fear. He says, my perfect love casts out your fear. He says, fear, if you're fearing me, that's because fear involves punishment, and there is no punishment left. So we need to be perfected in the love of God and not succumb to a scared to death fear of God. That's not right. We're his children. He says, approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence, and that's the opposite of fear. So, you know, it's interesting. There's a popular pastor right now who has a video out on YouTube, and it's on the fear of the Lord. And, you know, this lady's in bed in her bedroom, and the room starts to fill up with water. And then as time goes on, the water gets up on the bed, and then the room is so full of water that it gets over top of the bed, and then it, you know, envelops her, and she's underwater now, and then the water gets all the way to the ceiling, and she's basically in there, you know, moving around in the water, scared to death. And then the video wraps up saying we need to be fearful of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the topic there. And when I see something like that, it just makes me sick. I mean, you know, that's not at all our relationship with the Lord. He's not trying to drown us. He's not trying to scare us. We need to see that the moves that he has made in the cross and the resurrection, Bob, they were designed to instill confidence in us and let us know that we're safe and we're secure and we're okay. And that would affect the way we pray, too. So, you know, we got to get rid of this false idea that we're supposed to be scared of God and realize that, yeah, there's a respect, but there's also an intimacy, a closeness, because we're his children.
Well, as a judge, if we think of God as a judge, then that's a very fearful concept, because we know we're going to be judged. We know we're going to be condemned. We know that we're going to suffer consequences for that. But the cross allows us to look through the justice and actually see God as one who is rich in mercy. And that truth draws us near. And I think what you said at the beginning, Andrew, was so powerful. God is rich in mercy. If we can just grab a hold of that, I think all things change for us. I mean, that truly is a game changer as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned.
Yeah, that's the advice to Jose. Contemplate God's mercy rather than your own lack of feelings or frustrations or failures or the rest of it. Fix your eyes on Jesus and let him change you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you. In the meantime, let's go to the Bronx, New York, and talk with Eleanor, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. I'm so glad that you're talking about this. My husband and I, we were just actually talking about the same subject earlier today. And he was asking me, he was saying, well, how far do God's grace go? He said, he gave me a scenario of somebody deliberately committing a murder, a great sin such as a murder, and then saying in their mind, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me later. Whatever reason why they did it, they know that about the grace of God. So they say, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me later, and maybe they're on their deathbed, and knowing that they're about to die, so they said, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me. My question is how far, what's the limit to God's grace? Because I know Paul spoke about use grace for the occasion of the flesh, you know, just to say, well, okay, since God can forgive me, I'm going to go ahead and sin anyway because I know God is going to forgive me. So some people could take the grace of God out of context. So what is your, what could you say about that? How far should people go? Do we have a limit?
Well, guys, I think one of the things that we really want to stress here is that, you know, the grace of God is limitless. It's unconditional. It doesn't have strings attached. In fact, God's grace is so big. I think your question is so important because we need to see that God's grace is so big that we don't have to have some secret plan where we're going to ask forgiveness later. We really need to see that God's grace is so big right now that I'm forgiven, past, present, and future. I mean, you talk about murder. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not, of course, none of us want to murder anybody. I mean, God doesn't put that on our hearts. He's never going to lead us to murder people. We can trust him with our behavior, our attitudes, our actions. But let me just say, I mean, you know, David, who wrote the Psalms, he basically killed a guy so that he could take that guy's wife. And we know that, you know, Paul persecuted Christians and stood by and gave hearty approval at the stoning of Stephen. And we know that Moses killed an Egyptian in rage, and he wrote a lot of the Old Testament. So you see that, you know, some pretty big sins were committed by people that wrote the Bible, and God forgave those, and we will meet those believers in heaven. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we go out and abuse God's grace, but we do need to see how big God's grace is. And I think the other part of God's grace, and maybe this is the most important part, is that by God's grace, he changes our hearts. By God's grace, he gives us a new heart. By God's grace, he changes what we want, and he leads us by grace. So I think a lot of people's definition of grace is so slim, it is so small, that basically they think grace is that God forgives you, or grace is that God is merciful to you, and that's all true and fine and good. But God's grace is bigger than that. God's grace empowers you. God's grace gives you victory over sin. God's grace leads you away from murder, toward godly living. So I think we need a bigger definition of God's grace, but let's certainly not put conditions on God's grace where, you know, because ultimately then our theology is that we're forgiven of all our sins except for the big one. And that would be a dishonoring to the Lord and his shed blood. So I hope that helps.
That helps. I agree with you on that when you say that his grace turns us away from sin.
Yeah.
Because of his grace, we turn away from sin, because his grace means his love.
Right.
So I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah, we appreciate that. That's such a good question, a critical question, and I think one that we all have to wrestle with and come to grips with the fact that, you know, just as Paul wrote in Romans 5, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You know, we have all the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus, and Jesus died, and then he was raised from the dead. Well, what does that tell us? That this resurrection life is greater than all the sins. Even the sins of the world couldn't keep Christ in the grave.
Yeah.
And he suffered the punishment for every single one of them. Now he's alive. And he makes us alive. That's what grace is all about. God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. So the fact that we've been made alive in Christ, that's what salvation is, proves that his grace is greater than all of our sins. And that's an amazing truth. And boy, you know, just as we talked about with the mercy, when we understand this grace, it just really changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley's here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher, 844-322-2742. Let's talk more about this mercy and grace. It is life-changing, folks. We would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. We also want to make mention that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. folks from all around the world give so that this program can go out on the air each and every day through the internet as well. It also enables us to produce resources that can help you as an individual in your walk with Christ. We need more partners to come and be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. All the information on how you can join with us, how you can give to empower the proclamation of the good news of Jesus to a lost and hurting world is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and follow all the information there. Come join us. Be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. As a way to say thanks for your gift this month, we have a wonderful series called Profiles in Character.
Yes.
And it takes a look at what God's grace does in and through us as far as molding us, shaping us, bringing us to the point where we actually see the fruit of God's Spirit being lived out in and through us. So that's our gift to you for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. And again, all the information is at basicgospel.net. Well, we have calls coming in right now, but while we wait for those, do we have another email?
Yeah, we do. Tony from Mississippi writes, in view of many churches, denominations, and even seminaries gradually accommodating this ever-changing society of ours, is there such a condition as false conversion? I would add to that question, hasn't it always been this way? And the answer is yes, it's always been this way.
Yeah. So is there a condition for a false conversion?
Yeah, I mean, people fake it all the time. Since Jesus was here. That's why the Bible writers constantly are saying, look, if the shoe fits, wear it. Accept Jesus now. Accept his forgiveness, his love, this grace, the mercy we've been talking about. Stop playing the game and accept Jesus seriously. It was true in Jesus' day and in the first century. It's true today. It'll be true until Jesus comes back that some people fake their conversions in order to get in the good graces of whatever church they're wanting to hang out with or to make the world like us better. The question is, stop looking at the false conversions, point people to Jesus.
Yes.
And I think, guys, that sometimes people don't even realize they're doing it.
Correct.
I'm reminded of my own father. My father, before he was a believer, he stood on sat on the front row of a Baptist church in Virginia, and the pastor had asked him to share his testimony that morning. And so, before he gets up on stage, he leans over to my mother and he says, I don't know what I'm going to say. And she says, you'll think of something. And so he gets up there and talks about Christian values and Christian community and a family environment and how great this church is and how thankful he is for it. And everybody applauds at the end and says, oh, what a great testimony. And he didn't know the Lord at all at that time. It wasn't until a year later that he got saved. So I think sometimes people, Paul said, they went out from among us because they were never really part of us. And I think, that wasn't my dad's case because he ultimately came to faith in Christ. But many people, they play church. It's like a country club. It's a great environment. You have values and principles that you follow. You clean up your life. You stop drinking too much and stop smoking and hang out with nicer people and please your wife or your husband by your conduct. And, if we think that's what Christianity is, then we may be having a false conversion and not even realize it, because a real conversion is when you invite Christ to actually live inside of you and you open the door of your life and say, Christ, come in and fix me, because I am broken and messed up on the inside. And that's what a real conversion really starts with.
Yes, indeed. Well, we certainly appreciate that email question. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk with Michael, listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. What's on your mind today?
I like what you said to the lady about the guy going out premeditating murder, coming back and saying, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness later. I totally agree with your answer on there. I missed the last conversation you just had about being saved. But my question is this. Sin means you just missed the mark, correct?
That's the yes. definition of the word, yes.
Okay. So is there an unforgivable sin?
Well, Michael, the unforgivable sin in the Word of God is the rejection of Christ. You know, Jesus Jesus said to the Pharisees that the, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin, and that's really rejection of Christ Jesus. I think it's as plain and simple as that.
Okay. So then there is an unforgivable sin. So then how can you say grace is completely limitless? It does have a limit.
Well, if you reject grace, so that's where Hebrews 6 and 10 come in. There were people who would reject grace and insult the Spirit of grace. So it's like, you know, God is so gracious and so good, but he is not going to make you into a robot and force you into compliance, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And so he says, I stand.
He is forcing you into compliance.
Well, sure it does. Yeah.
No,
it has everything. It has everything to do with it, because what I'm saying is, you know, Bob said the unforgivable sin is rejecting Christ. Well, why didn't God just, let that happen and forgive that? Well, because if you reject Christ, you don't have life. If you accept Christ, you do have life. And if you reject Christ, for him to give you life anyway would be for him to barge in that door, not stand at the door and knock, but instead break it down and go in and force you to receive him and force you to believe in him. And he won't do that, because the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and kindness. And, you know, there's a choice that we have to make. So people who reject him remain dead in their sins, because God won't force his way into our lives.
Okay, but then if there is that's a limit on grace. So how do you counter that
with
saying grace is limitless?
I think then what we want to do, where we're at right now, is that we're in a debate about words, and I don't think that we need to win that debate on either side. I think ultimately it's important that the listeners understand the message. And the message is, there's an offer on the table, and if you receive that offer, then you are forgiven of all your sins. But if you reject that offer, you're not going to find total forgiveness anywhere else. It's only found in Jesus. So there is an unforgivable sin. Grace is not going to be forced upon you. And so in that sense, we have to recognize the character of God. I wouldn't say grace has a limit to it, but I would say that God is gentle and kind, and he just won't circumvent your will. He wants you to choose to believe him, and you enjoy unconditional grace.
Yeah. It is a by grace through faith in Christ proposition. So there's this grace that God extends to us. It's received through faith, and that's when that transaction is complete. I think one other point, Andrew, on the rejection of Christ, for Christ to... just kind of overlook that, actually becomes a denial of his own character and his own deity, and he's not going to do that. He's going to continue to proclaim that he is the great I Am. Somebody rejects that, he's not going to make himself available to that person, because that he's just not going to deny himself. Well, we've run out of time on today's edition. We certainly appreciate those who've called in, to Grace, to Daniel, to Martin. Sorry that we could not get to your calls on today's broadcast. We encourage you to call tomorrow, and we will get to your questions as quickly as we can. Richard, Andrew, thanks for being a part of today's edition. Thank you for your keen insights into the Word of God and how this gospel of Jesus Christ is lived out each and every day. Thank you to all of those who support, who give, just either a one-time gift annually or give monthly, so that this broadcast can be heard all around the country and around the world through the internet. Thank you so much to our Basic Gospel partners. Well, we'll be back tomorrow for another edition. See you then.